The following episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Laura Pickren, Daryl Delaney, Darren Katzka, Devious Pop-Tart, Irene Villarito, Ryan Royce, Andy Dossett, Danielle Bramhall-Smith, Elizabeth Clark, Eric Whitman, Jessica Smith, Charles Compton, Natasha Rallerson, Richard Cree, The Cam Family, David Scrams, Dustin Troop, Edvarth Arnoff, Michael Clark, Rebecca Gauman, and Shelby Johnson, as well as all of our generous patrons.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll. www.d20radio.com.
Hello and welcome to Eberron Renewed, an actual play podcast set in the Eberron campaign setting. I'm your game master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
I'm Trevor.
I'm Randy.
I'm Jeff.
And welcome to another episode. Gentlemen, what happened last time?
Investigation and preparation.
Things surprisingly went well. Productive meetings.
Yes. Help seeking.
Yeah, the dice have been made a bird. Largely kind to you.
I can't wait to see what that thing does.
I said, Eris made a bird.
Yep.
I wish you'd asked me, how'd you make it a fish?
We are on our way to a meeting with some kind of representation from House Denneth regarding Kath's arrest by Sentinel Marshals. You all have met with Hutch from the Goals, the military branch of the Boromar clan, and Hutch has agreed to come assist you in whatever capacity he can, but it does seem like he is thoroughly disturbed by something that occurred during the conversation, at least when you all left him. And then Vigo...
What could it possibly have been?
I don't know. And then Vigo did some really nice things, and...
Well, let's not exaggerate.
I mean,
Vigo acted like an actual manager.
Yeah, yes.
It was nice for Vigo.
Yes, that is the situation that we're in, where the literal bare minimum is an amazing thing accomplishment for this character.
I don't know if the bare minimum is calling a dragon marked house and getting your bounties taken care of.
He's not doing that. He called his uncle and asked him to do it.
Right. But Milo had to convince him. Listen to me take Vigo's side.
Okay, so, where we left off, you all were taking off for the meeting place. Hutch was going to meet you all there as night fell over the city of Sharn. So you all take the boat, take Tasha up, and find the empty lot. And the only thing you see down there as you pull up is you do see a Warforged kind of standing at a corner of the building, and they seem to be fidgeting with some weapons as they stand about.
Is it clearly Hutch?
Yeah, you could recognize it as Hutch.
Okay.
Go ahead. I assume you're finishing describing.
Yeah, when you initially see him, it's too far away to to recognize any kind of features, but the fact that he is dressed in Kyren colors of military attire makes it pretty easy, since that's what Hutch wore when you all met him. So
what's I don't think we've gotten it described. What's Hutch's old uniform look like? I don't know what it would look. I don't know. I assume a Warforged uniform is made with different things in mind than a.
I mean, his actual plating has the Kyren symbol that all Warforged manufactured for Kyren would have had.
Sure.
But then he wears what's the name?
The tabard?
Yes, a tabard. The cloth thing that people wear over armor. He wears a tabard like you would see any Chiron knight wearing over their armor, with a belt, with his sword sheath. So yeah, it's just very, very Chiron.
Cool. Before we get off of Tasha, Eris kneels down behind the driver's station, and I don't know, takes out a wrench. I can't think of a way to make this more magical than otherwise. And undoes some bolts on a big bronze plate that's behind the driver's station. And after she's undone the bolts, she sort of lifts it off. And there's immediately this sort of bluish light that fills the room. And she reaches in and fiddles around a little bit and comes out holding the crackling purple dragon shard, in which Tasha is bound. And then she goes over to the falcon that is resting on perched essentially on the aft of the deck, and opens a little compartment in its chest and slips the dragon shard in and closes it. And there's this brief pause, and then the eyes of the falcon start to glow with the same purple as the dragon shard. And then it sort of shakes itself, and the steel and bronze pinions sort of flex, and it spreads its wings and hops up onto Eris' shoulder.
Oh, delightfully inconspicuous.
She's not that big.
Right.
Hutch sees you all park and kind of meets you all halfway. Sana is obviously with you all as well. And Hutch kind of walks up and says, is there any kind of play that we're going with? Is there any plan, or is it just go into this thing on good faith? And if things go sideways, they go sideways.
I've been thinking.
Eris looks at Sana.
I don't want to go in with any kind of intention of risking Kath's life if they do bring her. So I feel like if we're potentially acting on edge, or like we have a plan of attack or something, I think that's just going to escalate the situation. I think we just go in taking them at their word that this is a meeting on neutral ground to negotiate. And if things go sideways, I mean, we've been caught off guard before. Literally the situation that got you all into this, you were caught off guard and you walked away from that. So that would be my request. Is I don't want to do anything that could endanger my sister's life or freedom.
Understood.
Hutch shrugs and like, okay. And Hutch's underneath his tabard are some strapping to where basically he has a claymore on his back that's the style of sword that he uses. So it's just sticking way up there. But
right, yes, it's also a sword. I was like, he's got a breaching or not a breaching device, but a
mine.
Explosive. Yeah, a mine on his.
Eris tilts her head and makes several incomprehensible noises, it suddenly occurs to me. Tasha shakes herself, spreads her wings, and takes off. And Eris is going to tell Tasha to just sort of circle and watch for trouble.
Okay.
What is your problem, Jeff?
I have no problem. I have no problem with your fantasy drone.
Okay.
Well, I'll just hang out with my stick. I got to figure out how to play this game.
Eris has offered to make you a better stick.
I'm sure that's true.
After a couple minutes, once you get closer to the actual designated meeting time, you all see a skiff start descending towards you all. And it pulls up on the opposite side of the lot, because of course it would. And you see You first off see two identical human women get off, Tostra and Lelia, that you would recognize from your encounter. And then you see Kath get off, and Sana kind of makes a stifled, like, noise of just anxiety and relief simultaneously, if that's a noise that people can make. And then a fourth figure gets off that is a fairly large human male, seems to be a bit older, gray hair, gray white mustache. And
well, they really did bring their dad.
And you hear Hutch make a noise from behind you all once this this human man steps off the boat, and Hutch is like, oh, sovereigns.
What's up, Hutch?
That's, and it's not like they're walking towards you yet. They're having their own little conference, having stepped out. That's
who is it?
General.
Yes.
Ghost.
That's General Gadon Russ.
Spell.
Godown. Go down. Russ.
Get down.
Dedenneth.
Russ.
Russ. Russ.
Godown Russ. Go down, Russ.
Get down, Russ. Go down, ahead. Russ. Get down. Get down, Russ. Go ahead.
Get down. He was a Breelish general. His nickname was Boom Rush Russ, because he would just use artillery and then rush through the front line. Like, he would just blow soldiers away and then send his soldiers just headlong into the aftermath.
Doesn't sound like it would work very well.
I mean, he lost a lot of people, but he was one of the most decorated generals in the Breedlish army. I fought a battle against him, and you don't want to. One of the weirdest stories, though, he had to retire in the middle of the war. Well, not in the middle of the war, but towards the end of the war, in the middle of his career, because late in his life, he developed a mark. He's not, at least as far as he knew, not an heir to Dedenneth, but he developed the mark, so he tacked on the Dedenneth to the end of his name. But yeah, this guy's bad news in terms of strategy and clout, and yeah. So good luck.
Great. Wonderful news.
What's he got to do with this?
Hmm?
What's he got to do with this?
I mean, he got promoted not too long ago to run the Dedenneth Enclave contingent here in Sharn. I don't know enough about the Dedenneth Enclave to know why he would be here, but and you do see that also from a distance, you can easily tell from the burning ember in front of his face that he does have a like half cigar in his mouth that he's smoking as he's talking to.
Of course he does.
To Tostra and Lelia.
Hob, are you sure that's all you did was punt a runt?
I'm 100% certain. I believe.
That's a sporting dargoon.
If I were to take a guess.
Those poor goblins.
This has become considerably less about their brother and considerably more about them now. Because we really did a number on one of them last time. So
this is very true.
You see them turn and begin approaching, and Kath is restrained. She's not being led by chains or anything. Like, she is walking next to them, just restrained in between the two sisters. And they kind of stand halfway across the lot and wait for you all to approach.
Sorry, dog zooming.
No, you're good.
I will walk up first because this is all because of me.
I mean, Milo's whether or not you invite her, Sana is next to you.
Sure. She is. Milo's there too.
Actually, I told Reynard to go first just in case old Boomrush gets hankering from his old ideas, but no. So I guess the vanguard is Hob and Sana and Milo, or are you right behind us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay.
Reynard, Eris, what are you doing?
Eris is not moving forward.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna stand by the big guy.
Oh, Hutch, is he gonna stay back? That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hutch is there for backup, and if he stays within one range band, so he could use a maneuver to get into the fracas if need be. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Eris is just fiddling with knobs on the Fletcher, nervously.
Okay. you approach, and Tasra and Lelia kind of seem to stare daggers at you, Hob, and General Russ kind of regards you and says, "So, you the one that messed up the twins here?"
Weird though.
Sorry, let me do that voice again because that's too close to Hutch. Mm-hmm. So, you're the one that messed up the twins here.
Oh, you want to have a gruff off? Let's have a gruff off.
Yeah, let's have a gruff off.
Who's more grizzled?
Yeah,
I'm Batman.
Good pull.
Well, I'm the one that that they attacked after I kicked their brother out of a bar. Did they tell you that bit? The reason they're so upset with me?
Oh, they did. And you can skip the once removed. You can just say my son.
Oh, okay. Your son. If I had known that it was your son, I would have called you and told you about his conduct.
Oh, that's fine. Trick is an embarrassment, just to be perfectly frank. I feel like we can be frank with each other in this situation.
I'd love to be.
Then you wouldn't be Hob.
I'd love to be.
So, no, I know who my son is, and I know what he gets up to, and I know his temper. So, I'm sure that he got his sisters here to go try to deal with you for the embarrassment he felt.
He got his sisters to hire a Warforce juggernaut to attack us along with them. And we defended ourselves. And then suddenly, sir, you have to, we have to be on the same side that initial encounter there was, it couldn't have been official business, could it?
Oh, I mean, the House Denth did have a bounty out on you that Trick had, initiated, so they could have gone about it better, but from a legal technicality standpoint, it was official business. They were attempting to serve a bounty on you.
Okay, can Jeff ask a question?
Yeah.
Can anybody with money just put out a bounty on somebody that's legally binding?
Is Denith a legal hitman?
No, this particular circumstance is super shady and super corrupt.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean it's very much a situation to where no, this is not based on any communication or readings or anything that you would hear about House Denneth, this is not the function of the Sentinel Marshals, no.
I have a question too.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure Reynard was the one who like incapacitated one of these women in the train fight. They're not mad at him?
Yeah, they're mad at all of you.
They just got bounties on all of you.
It just seems like Hob's getting a lot of the blame.
Well, you're not
when
there,
he was
Reynard,
hanging off the side of the
back.
Train for half that fight.
I'm going to fight you with a sword. Me, Jeff. You, Trevor.
I can supply. So yeah,
anyway.
Give him the bendy one. I want the one on the wall. Um,
I'd love to resolve this in a way where everyone walks away without a mark on them. Cathier was simply defending herself from two people she saw attack her. Right. She doesn't deserve the bounty that's on her. And I think we all know that.
Fair enough. I'm sure that she doesn't deserve it, nor do your comrades. I mean, I didn't realize that I was speaking to people with enough clout in Boromar to receive such a call on their behalf, but your friends' bounties have been resolved, so you can take some solace in that, except for hers and yours, of course.
Right. Mine, because your family seems to think I deserve it, and hers, because it'd be a pretty bad deal to admit that she doesn't have a bounty on her and keep her in those restraints, right?
Oh, yeah. We would release her immediately if she didn't have a bounty on her. We're not monsters. So, I'm here to negotiate and make a deal for resolution of your friend's bounty and yours. Can I call you Hob?
Yeah, of course. What should I call you?
General.
he's gonna do it. He doesn't like it. It's gonna feel like sand in his mouth, and he's gonna do it.
What's the difficulty of the discipline check to say that that sound didn't come out of Eris?
Let's make it just an average difficulty. 2 purple, 3 success, 1 threat. So the sound doesn't at least come audibly out. But you realize what almost happened. So go ahead and take a point of strain.
Yeah. She wants it to. deserves to be mocked.
It's that inner turmoil of I want to make the noise injustice. So he knows what I think about him, but I know it's not an appropriate time to make that.
Hob.
You see, I have a situation. Or rather, House Denneth in this city has a situation where I don't know how familiar you are with the various houses and what we offer to this city, but there's a fair amount of overlap between my house and that of House Thrashk in terms of what we offer. And an issue that I'm running into is that the monstrous races that are coming into the city from Droam are choosing to align themselves with House Thrashk more than House Denneth, and that's quality labor. We would love to pay those individuals for their hard work, and we would like to be the ones employing them. So, my ask is to help me in that endeavor. And in exchange, well, ideally, we never have to see each other's faces again. And you don't have to see the inside of a cell, at least on my account. So I have the exact details of my ask for you if you're interested. And he takes a pull off of his cigar.
Okay.
Basically, House Denneth and House Thrashk both offer bodyguard, bounty hunting, all the they offer a lot of the same services, essentially. But House Thrashk is a human and half orc or full orc, Philip?
Half orc.
Human and half
orc.
Human and half orc house. So probably part of the reason that the quote unquote monstrous races, as he referred to them, would be more comfortable aligning themselves with Thrashk is because there are half orcs involved, whereas Denneth is purely humans. Or there might be other reasons, but that's kind of on its face value. Why? That's kind of the bullet points on the important information in regards to this offer. They are both Dragonmart houses. They are both part of the 12. They have the same kind of clout that any other house would have. But yeah. And Thrashk is the youngest house, if I'm correct. Am I making that up?
I think you're right.
I mean, at this point, it's immaterial because it's still like hundreds upon hundreds of years.
Yeah.
But.
So what you're telling me is the negotiation, from what Hob would know of this, his starting point is you are going to do something that is going to piss off a particularly ruthless house.
Mm-hmm. Whose mark would make it very easy for them to find us.
That feels important.
Yeah, that's their that's their mark ability, is they have the mark of finding.
Yeah, I mean that's one way that this job could go, is you overtly angering the house that has the mark of finding. Hopefully you all would be able to find a different means. But yeah, so I mean his ask is to assist him in recruitment efforts in a very specific way, in exchange for ensuring that you never have to deal with House Denneth again.
Well, we can't negotiate until I hear the details, so why don't you go ahead and tell me what you're asking in plain talk.
All right. Well, you see, part of the recruitment efforts of House Thrashk here in the city is fueled by Kundar Ashta, who is a half-orc, who is one of the triumvirate of House Thrashk. He's one of their leaders. But through certain intel, through Sentinel Marshals, we have discovered that he has some pretty close ties to one of the cults of the Dragon Below, which is pretty frowned upon in most circles. So the ask of you, because if it were me going down there and spouting this information off, obviously I have a vested interest, so it would be easy for them to dismiss those claims. But if you, being a member of a race who historically has come from Droam, was the one spreading that message, probably land pretty well.
So you want me to...
And I apologize, Jeff doesn't understand this, so I'm actually going to ask Jeff, did you say you... how you want me to accomplish this? Am I going somewhere? Am I trying to talk to people who have already signed up with Jurassic?
Yeah. Basically, the ask would essentially be, the mission objectives would be to go to a district or multiple districts where there is a large population of these types of residents coming in from Droam. So probably so like down in the cogs.
Roll down to the cogs. Sure.
Yeah, or Dask is a rival gang of Boromar, but they are also primarily made up of those races. And figuring out a way to disseminate that message in such a way to where it would spread quickly is essentially kind of the ask. So he's not, yeah.
Let me ask this with Jeff being, with Hob being from Droam. Do monsters care? Like, do trolls and ogres care? Aren't the cults of the dragon below like much more common in?
I mean, amongst like trolls and stuff like that, they probably, especially ones in Droam, it probably wouldn't be a huge deal. But to people in Sharn looking for work with Dragonmarked houses, if you have an option, like if it's like, I could work for these people, but they worship creepy people that live underground.
So or it's not specifically. It's not specifically trying to convince the people of Droam, the monstrous races of Droam. It's we're trying to ruin this guy's reputation in Sharn.
Yes, but okay. with the explicit intent of getting the monstrous races to funnel towards House Denneth. But at the end of the day, you can't be entirely in control of that. But I imagine that his satisfaction won't be seen until he sees an uptick in enlistments.
Well, and that was my question. Let's do that. Applications. Let's do that in character, because that was going to be my question.
Okay.
Well, immediately something strikes me as quite nebulous, and I think you'll agree. I can't make any decisions here until you tell me if my clemency, as it were, is based on effort or result. Because I can do everything I can, but I can't make anyone do anything any more than you can. Well, actually, less than you can, given your station, actually. So you're with me. You're with me. We're having, yes, we're vibing.
Anyway, essentially, what it would look like is once you report to me that the deed is done, then we give it, let's say, a week and see what the applications look like. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of citizens from Droam coming into the city almost every day. And all of them are looking for work. So if this lands, there will be a noticeable uptick in applications from people coming in from Droam. And based on all of the research that we've done, and we've done our due diligence, we know that if one of the leaders of House Tharashk, who is present here in the city, actively recruiting people, is fully discredited, there's going to be movement towards us. So don't worry about the business end of things. We know that the results will come. We just need to see it begin to trickle in. So you're not tied up with us for a year or even a month to make sure that our recruitment efforts are good. Just a week to see a slight uptick, and then you're good to go. And he takes another pull off his cigar.
I hope you understand. No, I know you understand. I hope you're sympathetic to the fact that if I am found out and House Drask decides they don't like me doing it, I'm not the only one in danger here. It's only fair that I get a chance to run this through. It'll be my decision and I'll be the one doing the work. But it's only fair that I inform my partners here of what you're asking. Is that amenable to you?
Inform him. All right. Me here.
Yeah. So Hob turns around and walks back and says,
with Milo and
yes,
Sana
and whoever else.
Sana. It was Sana. I assume. Yeah.
Sana. Yes.
Yeah, I figured you guys would come with me. So I think I relay everything that I've been asked to do, and I make it clear that this is something that I will either do on my own or hire out work for, that none of you have to do this with me. I make that very clear. And then I think I turn to Hutch and I say, you know this better than anyone I know. If I'm found out, am I dead?
I mean, House Tharashk has a heavier hand than House Denneth does. So they do tend to go a bit harder when they're after people. I think that, yeah, if you are directly found out as being the individual responsible for this happening, then Tharashk is going to put out a dead or alive bounty on your head. But based on what you're telling me the job is, I think there's quite a few ways that you can, that all of you can keep that from happening. I mean, Tharashk is not somebody you want to contend with, but neither is Denneth. I wouldn't want to be on their ledger for the rest of my life.
I think at that point, Hob turns to Sana and he says, I hope you understand that coming back here, seeming hesitant, I was never going to say no. I just wanted to hear from Hutch a bit first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You lot can stay back here if you'd like. I'm going to go talk with the general.
Wouldn't it have been astronomically less difficult for him to just hire someone to spread a scurrilous rumor about someone?
It would have been astronomically easier for him to come to me and say, you've wronged my son, and if you'd like to be not harassed for the rest of your life, go do this, 6 months ago. What I've learned is, Very few people do things the easiest way. And I count myself among that lot. But I agree. Okay, I think Hob's going to walk back over. If somebody wants to walk with him, they can.
And Milo's going again.
And Sana's going again.
And Hob says, may I propose a few conditions?
You could certainly try.
Well, yeah, that's what proposed. You know what? Never mind. I'd like an indefinite but reasonable timeline for beginning. I need to plan how to do this safely for me and my crew.
All right.
I'll inform you when the operation is started. And then we check out application numbers 10 days later. That fair?
All right. Sure. I'll tell my daughters and my son to back off, and I'll ensure that none of your people are harangued by marshals.
As if his son has stepped up.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah. I agree. I'm as excited as you are for none of us to see each other again. My last proposal, my last ask. If I find out that I'm a found out, and it's as a result of this meeting right here, how can I say this without straight threatening?
Has it been made, while you think, has it been made clear that Kath is walking away with us tonight? Like, have we had, like...
I thought it was clear the bounty. Oh, okay. I thought that's what clear the bounty was. For her. Well, for me, obviously, it's after but I understand for me, it's after the results. But I thought for her it was, you're in my debt now, so she's clear too. That's not the case?
That hasn't been explicitly stated.
Oh, well, then absolutely. And finally, just scratch all that last part because I couldn't figure out a way to make it work. I wanted it to be like, if I find out you guys snitched on me, I get to kill your son. Not in those words, obviously, but partially to make, if I have to roll for this, coercion instead of just negotiation. and of course, imprisoned or not, I'm certainly now in your debt. I'm certainly now under your thumb. And as such, the only fair thing would be an exchange. And Kath gets to go home with her sister tonight.
And he hesitates and looks over his shoulder at Kath and kind of looks off into the middle distance as he takes a pull off of his cigar.
She could be quite helpful in spreading the rumors we need spread.
Yeah. Guess she does bear resemblance to the Thrash folk. So, one quick question, though. How do I know that if I allow her to go with you and her sister, that you all aren't just going to take her and then cut and run out of the city?
I'm not going
to. If I have her, you can't go anywhere.
I'm not, so...
I live here. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm not so foolish as to think that House Dinneth doesn't have a long reach. Why would I bother running if I just know you can find me wherever I am? If you'd like me to check in, if you'd like me to send a word, if there's a particular bar where some of your friends like to go that I can be seen at ever occasionally, so you know I'm in town, I'm happy to do it. But this is the big one, and I'd really like us to come to an agreement on it.
Okay. Go ahead and make a check for me. It's going to be against his discipline, which is going to be two red and a purple. The terms that you have laid out and the words that came out of your mouth, I'll give you a boost die for your efforts. So,
This, I'm assuming this is negotiation?
Yeah. You didn't threaten at any point, so I can't give you... If you want to add an or else at the end, I guess you
can. No, like, I mean, because what am I going to say to this guy? Like, literally, if this was just their boss, I could threaten this kid.
Yeah.
But it's not, and I can't, and he could clearly end me, or at least end somebody here before the fight was over. So this is negotiation. I'm going to flip a story point, which means I get to add a green, correct? Because I'm ranked out.
Yes.
Okay. Story points flipped. Adding a green. Add a boost die. Two red, one purple, you say?
Yep.
Okay. That little boost die is carrying a lot of water right now. give me 2 seconds. Let me just double check my talents to make sure. Because I took ranks in negotiation, but I couldn't find anything. Else. This is not coercion, so I can't use my brawl. All that would do is add a green anyway. Okay.
One failure, three advantage. Okay, so the fail state is not, I think, what you all are hanging your heads about. So what would you like to do? Okay, let me explain the fail state, and then we can work out the advantage. So he takes another pull off of his cigar and looks at you and says, well... What you say makes a lot of sense. And I can respect somebody who speaks frank, and I don't feel like they're trying to double talk me. So, okay. Kath can go with you tonight. I know you offered to check in, but I have something else in mind. I have I managed to do some recruiting. So I do have a marshal who's a Minotaur who can assist you in this. And while you await and do your research, you'll check in with him every, let's say, 3 days until the deed is done. And once you decide to move, if you would like to enlist his help, it could be an asset to you. But yeah, he'll come down to the four sales every now and then and check in on you. Make sure you're still around.
If you'd rather someplace that he can be more certain I'll be. Nope, never mind. Hal didn't say anything. I don't want him coming to the four sales, but I definitely don't want him knowing where Hobbs stays.
Yeah. Okay, so advantage. Three advantage. That's not nothing. So you know what the fail state is now. I didn't want you all thinking that you weren't going to get Kath when you're thinking about what to use these with. So basically you have a Minotaur parole officer that is going to come check in on you.
He's going to come hang out where Eris lives. That's cool.
Yeah, let's make it all about Eris, Philip. I'm the one. No, I was going to ask if I could use the three advantage to have to relitigate where these check-ins are. I do not like him coming to the four sales. I do not want. I mean, he might be a decent dude. We also work for a bunch of jerks, like, you know, but just because he's a Minotaur and works for the guy we're mad at right now doesn't mean he'd be necessarily a bad person or a worse person. So. How about this? For three advantage, can I talk him into letting me buy the Minotaur a meal at the Consistent Bird every third day?
Sure. That's fine. Yeah. So go ahead and in the fiction.
Burned my three advantage to calm Eris down, and I think that is exactly what Hob would do. Or to, not to calm him because she doesn't know, but to protect what would have really upset Aerys.
To calm Philip down.
Philip's not uncalm. Although, sometimes I'm not sure if he's being Aerys or being Philip when I see some faces he makes on the other end of the camera. Okay, so that's what I say, if I may. Much like you don't want anyone coming to some place, a lot of your people spend time and potentially overhearing something that you wouldn't like them to hear. This is not for me. I do not care. But, well, I mean, it is for me, but I don't think that my employers would love for one of your representatives to come by what is a known hub of our activity. So how about every 3 days, your Minotaur employee and I meet for lunch at the Consistent Bird, and I will purchase for them some of Raven's finest meals.
Oh, he's got a big stomach, but...
Well, I know a bit about that.
I'm sure that, I'm sure he would be fine with that, so why not?
Great, next question. How does one get money?
Well, I have a job application right here. and he kind of gestures over to Tasra, and she turns and releases the restraints on Kath's wrists. And Sana doesn't wait. She lunges in between the two twins and just hugs Kath. And Kath kind of leads her back onto Ural's side of the line. Like, all right, well, I think our business is concluded here. So, good doing business with you, Hob. I believe, Milo?
That is correct.
Nice doing business with you. And if you need anything, feel free to ask my representative or come up to the Enclave and meet with me directly.
Well, thank you. Hopefully it won't be necessary.
All right. Well, anything else?
Yeah. I want an apology from all three of your butthole kids. No, I believe we're done here.
Great. Have a good night. And I'll be hearing from you soon.
Tell your emissary. I'll see him in 3 days at 1:30.
All right, I'll let him know.
Cause I can't text him. So
yeah. Guess that's the sending spell, maybe, in this world. Is that the equivalent of texting? Okay, so everybody, like, they turn and begin walking back to their boat.
I don't turn my back on them until they're on their boat. Okay. I might, like, walk backwards. I'm not going to, like, stand there and stare.
Yeah, they load up and they begin to ascend out of the district.
Well, doesn't sound necessarily as bad as it could have been.
Hob walks past everybody to Tasha, gets in, sits down, and looks out to the side of the boat. In a very clear, I'm done today. Like, do not talk to me. Do not tell me how good it went. Do not tell me that I did the right thing or the wrong thing. I did something, and Kath's back. Don't talk to me. And any one of you are welcome to not notice that. I'm just saying that's what Hob does.
Yeah, Milo tried to make a light joke, and...
Didn't land.
It didn't land. Hob just kept walking, so that's cool.
Sorry, it was a good joke, but
perfect.
Like, I have already very much decided that Hob expended all of his self-control in the last, like, 8 minutes doing a thing he didn't want to do in the first place. He's not sure that he can't not really bite a head off or potentially hurt somebody right now. He wouldn't hurt somebody. Well... Honestly, maybe Hutch because he doesn't know him very well, or Reynard because he's mad at him a lot. But probably not even them.
Eris, Reynard, what are you?
Eris calls Tasha back and starts walking over. I hear Stormreach is quite nice.
I rarely wish this was a visual medium, but that Philip's face, like, you know what? All right.
I feel Milo's made his statement about he's not going anywhere, so.
Okay. Reynard?
Anything? I think Kath and Sauna are walking by Reynard and just overhear him go to Hutch. And that's why I drink.
I am so sorry. Wow. That's some stuff to think about. I might start drinking.
And yet the one who does this right now, the one who's going through this, does not drink. And seems to be, well, he doesn't. Actually, that's not true. He doesn't seem to be doing great right now. So,
presumably, Eris gets Tasha transferred to the boat and fires it up. And you all head out of the Middle Dura district back down to the Lower Menthus Plateau, having successfully recovered Kath.
There's about 8 minutes of silence on the drive, and then Eris on the flight back, and Eris says, "Look, I built a bird, and it flies, and not one of you said anything."
End of episode.
Can I just say, despite everything else, there is a flash where Hob was like, "Oh man, I didn't even say anything about her bird." No, what? No.
Okay, so first things first, before we do the sign off for this episode, Hob, increase your obligation by 10.
Yeah.
And then we're going to roll for obligation on the next episode to see. So,
is next episode not a downtime then?
Or next arc, rather. Okay. Remind me, Eris currently has 10.
I'm down to 10.
Reynard has 10. Milo has 20.
And now Hob has 30. And
30, Hob baby! 30.
So we'll do 1 to 10, Eris. 11 to 20, Reynard. 21 to 40 is Milo. And then 41 to 70?
Yeah. Nope.
Is
No problem. You know, what happens when we fill the numbers?
You all can't spend experience until somebody reduces their obligation. If you all have a total of 100 obligation, literally you can't get downtime to level up and learn new skills because you got stuff going on constantly. Okay. So rolling. And that is a 14, which is Reynard.
Sucker! So,
Reynard's obligation, 3 obligations in a row, activated. We will start to get some insight into Reynard and why he drinks, as he just explained to Hutch over the course of that conversation. Okay, well, thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to be part of the conversation surrounding this episode, we do have a Discord server where most of the conversation happens. If you want to find a link to that, you can find it on our website, thegeekpantheon.com, or any of our social medias. We have a Facebook group, The Geek Pantheon. We are on Twitter and Instagram, at The Geek Pantheon. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/thegeekpantheon, where if you join our $1 tier or above, you will just get thrown into our Discord if you have your account linked with Patreon. So that's the easiest way, probably. And then we also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/thegeekpantheon, where we have a variety of videos that go up every week, from DM tips and tricks from me to our actual play show Kyber Shards that goes up weekly as well. And I do stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/thegeekpantheon, if you want to talk to me in real time about about Genesis and this campaign, or D&D or Kyber Shards or anything else. So head on over there. Thank you all so much for listening. Once again, I'm your Dungeon Master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
I'm Trevor.
I'm Randy.
I'm Jeff.
We will see you next time.